Welcome back to Sharpen the Iron Podcast, where it is my job to share with you tools, lessons, inspiration, and ideas to help you sharpen your iron mind, empowering you to go out and walk with God day by day to maximize your life. Today we are talking about the double-edged sword of naming. And I want to begin with part of where this idea stems from, and that is from Genesis 2:19. And it says, "So God created all the animals and the birds and brings them to Adam to see what he will call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. Adam named all the birds and beasts." So God has granted man the power to name things, to identify them. And this power slash ability is a micro representation of what God does, because God names. He created the heavens, he created earth, he created all things. He brought them to life. And in naming things, you give life to them, in a sense. God allows us to name things, and we do so using words, obviously. Words allow us to communicate with each other. And the example I want to start with is the idea of, you know, the elephant in the room, the expression people often use to point to something that is there, but it is not truly there. And it's not truly there because it has not yet been named. So if you think of a couple who's living together and, you know, maybe they both grew up in homes where someone else always did the laundry for them. So this couple's living together and the laundry in their home keeps piling up and piling up. The man thinks it's the woman's responsibility, so he, you know, in his head, he scoffs at her for not doing the laundry. And, you know, the woman obviously never grew up having to do the laundry either, and she thinks there's no reason why the man can't help with the laundry as well. And they're both annoyed with each other for not doing, for what the other expects of them, for the laundry piling up. There's a problem there between the two. You know, but since they have not discussed it or named the problem yet, it's not technically there. So there's this elephant in the room that neither of them have called out. So say they do then have the discussion about what the heck's going on with the laundry, and they name the problem. Now, in having this discussion and using words to communicate what is truly going on, the problem is now real. They have given life to this thing. And up until this point, it was merely a shadow, right? A shadow's there, but it's only there because something is casting the shadow. But once you talk about it, you have identified what is casting the shadow. You have named the thing. And in a way, this is a very freeing. By putting a name on something or labeling something, you know what you're dealing with. And this happens all the time. So another example, say you've been feeling under the weather for a few days, but you know, you're not sure what the problem is. And it may make you feel uneasy, you know, because you don't really know what you're sick with, you don't know what you're contending with. You could be up against a little dragon like the flu or a huge monster like cancer. And after a few days, you decide to finally go to the doctor and he tells you that you have strep throat. He gives you some meds, tell you that you may experience XYZ for symptoms, what to do to deal with it, and that is that. And you are freed from that. All of a sudden, when he diagnosed you, when he named the thing, when he labeled the thing as strep throat, you know what you're dealing with. You have named the problem, and now you know how to handle it. And in other instances, though, you hear about people who go to the doctor, go from one doctor to another with no answers of what is wrong with them. And that is a terrifying thing because you have no idea what you may be up against. You don't know what you're contending with. So you know something is wrong. It's there, but it's, in a way, it's technically not there until you have named what it is, because in naming it, it gives life to it. And this is the double-edged sword of naming or labeling. In one sense, it can free you. In another sense, it can constrict you. It can become a crutch. It's freeing because it shows you what you are wrestling with. And most likely many other people have wrestled with this same thing before. So you aren't alone in this whole mess. You have, you, again, you just know what you're up against now. However, what happens when you begin to, you know, name or label yourself in negative ways? I think this is something as well we are seeing more of in the modern world, as it is extremely easy to self-diagnose with Google, you know, and who knows what the hell else is, what else you diagnose with YouTube, whatever it may be, just hearsay from someone else. It is so easy to look something up and then to place a label on yourself. You know, say, for example, that you have ADHD because you feel like you have a hard time of focusing, or you feel like you're a morning person because, you know, you just don't, you're not a morning person, sorry, because you just don't like getting out of bed, or somehow you're a victim because of what someone else did to you. These names slash labels are little mustard seeds that are planted within you. And a mustard seed is a tiny thing, but it can grow into a tree and overtake a whole garden. Because what happens is that people think they possess ideas, but ideas possess people. They grow within people. So you begin to see yourself through these identities, and they can distort your vision, how you perceive the world and others. If you think that you are not a morning person, it's going to affect how you act in the morning, your mood, how you deal with others, how you deal with the tasks that you have for the day. If you see yourself as someone with ADHD, you can use that in a crutch in your life. You can explain things away to that thing. And in a way, it makes total sense that someone would rather have something that they could scapegoat their things to. It's much easier to have a crutch, to have a scapegoat and to say, well, this is why I'm not doing well in school. This is why I have a hard time focusing. It's because of ADHD. Well, the problem with, I struggle in the morning because I'm just not a morning person. So this label, this thing, this name can constrict you in a way. It can, in a way, it can just become the thing that you throw all your problems on top of. You can just let that, use it as a crutch. And the more you associate with those labels, the more it begins to overtake you and grow within you, the more it possesses you. If you are not careful, you can begin to believe some things about yourself and the world that can lead you extremely astray. However, I think this can go both ways, right? If you start naming or labeling yourself in a positive way, you may begin to act more in accordance with that thing, right? If you label yourself, I'm a morning person, then how does that change how you act in the morning? If you label yourself as, you know, I'm a very focused person, you start putting other labels on yourself, how does that change how you perceive yourself, how you act in the world? And obviously, you know, it's all about the story you are telling yourself. If you tell yourself, I'm a fit person, you want to maintain internal consistency. It's like psychological homeostasis. You do not want to believe a story about yourself and then not act in accordance with that. That's simply cognitive dissonance. And so if you begin to tell yourself, I'm a fit person, I eat healthy, that's the story, that's the way you see the world, you begin to act more in accordance with that belief system because you want to maintain that internal integrity or an internal homeostasis. So we can do these things to ourselves, but even more dangerously, and also can be used in a positive way, you can do some terrible damage to other people by naming or labeling them. Hitler once said, if you tell people a lie, a big enough lie for long enough, they begin to believe it. And I think this is the idea of fire hosing. This is what fire hosing is like, people with lies. And we can fire hose ourselves with lies, right? You think of a fire hose, I mean, you stand in front of that thing, it's just going to take you out and just, that's a lot of water at once. It's a lot different than a garden hose. That's a lot of lies are just going to take people out. They start to believe them. And this can happen, especially right in relationships where one person completely can demolish another person by labeling them. And of course, the way other, if you are in a relationship with someone and you, it obviously depends on the type of relationship and it depends on how much that other person means to you. But if they continue to label you in certain ways, you can begin to believe the story about yourself that someone else is selling you. And again, however, this is a double-edged sword. That's the tragic beauty in it all. You can begin to positively label and name others. And, you know, especially young people, when they're malleable and moldable. This is why Christ talks about misleading children, because a child is malleable. A child can be molded, and it is very easy to lead children in either direction. And so you have to be very careful with it. You know, you can encourage and begin to attach positive traits and labels with young people. You can give them positive reinforcement for the things someone is doing. You know, you see someone acting out, you see someone acting in a positive way, you know, doing something that is doing, having, possessing a worthwhile trait or characteristic. You know, I think the easiest example is just you see someone maybe who's new to the gym, who's just getting into working out, and you can really reinforce that behavior in a positive way. Build them up for what they are doing and label them. You know, I see that you're working hard. You must be a hardworking guy. Whatever it is, little ways that we can encourage others. You can set the bar for them. You know, you can help them, especially as someone who's older, step into a higher role, which can evoke more out of them. You know, and you can see labels in the opposite way, you know, too, especially when you are younger and you go out and, like, I know this for myself, just going out and you could be the guy who could drink all the beers and do stupid stuff and, you know, that was just dumb when he was drinking or whatever. And you can receive a lot of positive reinforcement for being a jackwagon, and that label can begin to possess you. That's the spirit that you begin to embody, the spirit of the jackass, whatever it might be, you know, the spirit of the party guy. That spirit begins to work within you. That's the seed that's planted in you. And as you continue to receive positive reinforcement for it, it becomes more of who you are and your identity. And so you attach and cling even more to it. And obviously the first thing we do when babies are born is give them names, right? A baby without a name is nothing. It's there, but it's not really there until you name it. No different than the diagnosis, than the sickness. Like, you're sick with something, but until you name what that sickness is, it's not really a thing. And we see God doing this in the Bible as well, where he changes people's names when they are called to step into new identities. Abram becomes Abraham. Simon becomes Peter. Saul becomes Paul, and renaming initiates new life. It is symbolic of a transformation. And you can think of this too in terms of science. Like, if scientists are in the jungle and they discover a tree, a new tree, the first thing that scientists are going to do is name it. And so much of that obviously is for the sake of communication, right? How can we talk about something we don't have words to express? We have to use words to express things. We use images to express things. I mean, so much of the way we try to, you know, God is inexpressible. He's cannot be contained, but we use words to try to point to higher truths. We use symbolic language. We use parables. Jesus used parables. We use music. We use imagery. We use beauty. All these things are trying to capture the infinite within the finite. And that's kind of what words do. And we use the words to, kind of help us contain something, help us get more of a grip on things, if that makes sense. And it's just interesting. I'll type these podcasts up, and lately I've been typing them up at a certain point, and then maybe I'm not able to finish, so I'll kind of have some more time to think about it. And that's been nice, because then I can kind of come back with any new thoughts that I had or bring some things more full circle. And just today I had a few more things come to me. And so when people have cattle or pigs or whatever it might be, you know, if you maybe live on a small enough farm, someone's living on a small enough farm, they may name the animals and you develop an attachment towards that animal. And it's a heck of a lot harder to kill and then eat that animal when you have named it. And obviously that doesn't go for everybody, but, and then you can think of also prisoners. What happened in Nazi Germany, people they're no longer called their names. They just are given a number, and they are to wear orange or striped clothing, whatever it is. They shave their heads. They are dehumanized in a way. And so you can strip someone of their name. You know, if you just become a number, there's not that, I mean, you're doing something there. That's something very psychological happening to that person, and you're dehumanizing them in a way. And naming and labeling yourself as well. We kind of talked about that earlier with maybe labeling yourself as a victim or not being a morning person or struggling with focus, so you have ADHD. The more you attach to that, the more you continue to go to that, the more of your identity it becomes. And then that just becomes a self-esteem function, and so it becomes integrated into who you are. And so you have to defend that part of you, and it just can begin to snowball. And in either direction, again, if you see yourself as a fit person, it can snowball into that direction. If you see yourself as someone who's always been lazy, who's always been unfit, that's the story you're telling yourself. What actions will follow that story? Because that's a part of who you are. And in negative aspects to, you know, for someone who's told themselves their whole life that they're not healthy, they're unfit, to change that story is to kill a lot of them. A lot of them has to burn up and die in order for something new to be reborn. But essentially, that's what Christ says. You know, if you want to grow the wheat has to die before it can actually grow into something. And so that's an interesting thing there. And I kind of want to finish this off. Two things, actually. I was listening to something from Jonathan Peugeot. He has the Symbolic World podcast, and he was talking kind of about this. And he was saying naming or labeling is kind of similar. It can be to a curse, like a magician who, you know, or you know, we hear of curses and we think kind of magic, or we think of just stories or myths or whatever. But it's the same idea, right? If you are named from the time you were born as an idiot, that's this just what you've heard from everyone your whole life, from other people, that is how you see yourself. And so that label, that name, in a sense, is quite literally a curse. It constricts you. It's bondage in a way. The last thing I want to finish with is this study that was done on kind of naming things, is what you could say, I guess, where they had people observe like a car accident, and in one instance, the person conducting the study told the people seeing the accident that one car made contact with another car. And again, the people watched it happen, and they were asked later on how fast they thought the car was going that made contact with the other car. And these people said like 30 to 32 miles an hour. And then the people, and there was another group, and they saw the similar thing, but they said, this person conducting the study told them that the one car smashed into the other car. And then later they were asked how fast they thought the car was going that smashed into the other one. And they said 40 miles an hour. And so the simple little naming of the incident completely changed how people perceived it. And that can go... You see this in the news or the media. You have to, if you want to grab someone's attention, you have to use adjectives that evoke something within someone. And the more that happens, the more we become desensitized to adjectives that may be used to elicit a response within you. And so you can see that over time, the adjectives that have to be used in headliners to describe an article or an event or something have to become more and more outrageous in a way, you could say. They have to go become more and more radical to grab anyone's attentions, because we've become desensitized to the adjectives that used to elicit a response within us. And so there's a lot of ways you can see this in the world. I think part of the reason why I wanted to just talk about this is because it's everywhere, all right? We're constantly naming things all the time. I'll give another example, I guess, is I was talking with someone, actually, and they were talking, they live on a lake, and they were saying that, you're right, it's wintertime, and the lake freezes over, and the town, or whatever you want to call it, the people have put a car on the water to see what time of the year the car is going to fall in. And right, they measure that every year just to see when it is. And I guess it fell in much, much sooner than it ever has, as we've had a warmer winter. And the first thing that the person who told me the story was saying is, what does this mean, right? We're trying always to attach meaning to things. We want to name the thing. We want to explain the phenomenon. We want to understand things. And it's just interesting because that is everywhere, but it can work and act as a double-edged sword. There's dual elements and aspects to the power of naming and labeling, and so it is something we must be very careful with. So thank you guys for listening. I will see you next time, and as my grandma always reminds me, you have been blessed, so be a blesser. And as always, sharpen the iron.